This is Shop Talk. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Bill Knight.
And I'm Mike Murray.
This American Life last weekend, perhaps you heard the program, took what I would consider to be the unusual step of devoting the entire program to apologizing for a mistake that was made a couple months ago and trying to correct that mistake and explain what went wrong. This is basically a story about Apple outsourcing manufacturing to China. A guy named Mike Daisy, he's described as being a popular storyteller. He does a one-man off-Broadway show called The Agony and Ecstasy of Steve Jobs. Talks about abuses at factories, Apple factories in China. This American Life ran a story or did a piece with Mike Daisy and later discovered Mike had made up some aspects of his story, some characters in the story. What are your thoughts on, first of all, This American Life taking this step, Mike? It seems rather unusual to me. I have a hard time imagining, for example, Fox, first of all, admitting that it made a mistake, and then reaching out to its audience and explaining what went wrong.
Well, I think the thing that strikes me as kind of odd is how much time they spent documenting their flaw, you know, documenting the mistake they made. You know, when they get a fact incorrect in All Things Considered or something like that, there's a simple announcement made that they got something wrong, and they say, we're sorry for doing that, we'll try to do better next time, and they go move right along. And This American Life, I mean, in the context of that show, if Ira Glass had known ahead of time that there was some fabricated material in the piece, he could have simply said that, you know, some of this is fabricated. I don't think he'd have lost any listeners at all.
I think it was all presented as fact.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Reason This American Life might have devoted an entire program to this is because when the original program ran about these abuses at the Apple factory in China, it was one of the most popular This American Life programs in terms of podcasting. I mean, many more people than normal podcast this program. It made a real splash.
I think, too, that Marketplace, which is a public, an NPR show, but a public radio program, got involved, and the Associated Press was involved because they had checked this out, because the Associated Press is kind of notorious for taking
stealing
a local story.
stories.
Elaborating. So I think somebody was on it anyway, and so Glass made the preemptive strike of saying, you know, let's do an Oprah and call somebody, you know, misleading or dishonest. And I think this guy Mike Daisy, who I view him as sort of a Michael Moore wannabe, defended himself as saying he conceded that some things weren't true. He took shortcuts.
But he wouldn't acknowledge that they were lies. He played with that. He wouldn't come right out and say, well, I lied.
Yeah, he said, this is not journalism. It's theater. And, Mike, I think you touched on a good point because Ira Glass Show, which I enjoy, I don't view that as a strictly journalistic endeavor either.
I don't either.
I mean, it's fact-based, but it's pretty fanciful. You know, it's kind of stylistic, and I think you're right. If he would have said, here's a theatrical dramatization of allegations about Apple, it would have been fine. But instead, he was bamboozled along with the audience and presented it as fact-based journalism. And I'm glad he called the creator for what he had done, but I'm just uncomfortable. It's not like Fox airing Andrew Breitbart's latest non-issue with, you know, Obama's collegiate remarks, and then later saying, well, that was no big deal. Fox, I don't remember a correction on Fox.
No.
Or to turn to print, I mean, the New York Times, New Republic, USA Today all had reporters fabricate things, but none of them said, well, this isn't journalism, it's theater. So this is an odd situation.
Yeah.
The other issue I want to get to here is that many of the things he pointed out were true, though, too. Even though he made up some characters, stretch the truth on some aspects of the story, there was also some truth in that story, and there are abuses at these factories in China. And I think it really detracts from that story to have this controversy about these other elements of the story being made up.
Right. You know, if that's what a writer, let's just say a writer, fiction or, you know, nonfiction, I don't think it matters much. But if that's what a writer wants to do, somehow or other, it ought to be couched in a fashion that the reader or the listener or the viewer knows that's what's going on. We've, you know, like you see, you know, in a dramatic program, like Law and Order or something like that. You know, they'll base it on a case that happened for real, and they'll say that they've changed names and they've spun characters together to speed up the, you know, the proceedings of the program, the exposition, all that kind of thing. That's not journalism, but certainly all of that is fact-based. I mean, it's drawn from things that have really happened, courtroom cases and so on. I think all that Ira Glass would have had to say is that that's some of that's going on in this program as well.
And when you think about it, Bob Woodward has written books loosely based, not loosely, but supposedly based on his reporting, but he reports in quotes comments made where he was not present.
Yeah.
And that's always been a very uncomfortable to a lot of journalists I know wait a minute, you're putting words into someone's mouth, whether it's Henry Kissinger or the janitor, and you weren't in the room. Yeah. And supposedly he said, well, I verified this with two or three people. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, you should couch those presentations that way too.
Right. And because you should say it's, you know, third hand information at that point.
Well, those two or three people, even if you can get the general gist of what someone said at a particular time, I don't think those people were taking notes. So it would be hard to put quote marks around something as if that's exactly what this person said.
Now, more than anything, this Mike Daisy's experience reminds me of a story that NPR ran a week or so earlier about this book, Lifespan of a Fact, where an article, an essay was written by a University of Iowa English professor, not a journalist, about this tragic teen suicide. And the fact checker, I think it was initially Harper's and ended up being rejected and going to another magazine, The Believer, couldn't verify not just a few, but most of the assertions in this essay. And the guy's defense was, well, I'm going after felt truth,
not
journalism. And that's like theater. It's like, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, an essay doesn't have to be journalism.
Oh.
Well, nonfiction means accuracy.
Right.
Otherwise, it's fiction.
Yeah.
So
even something as simple as a purple van to him had a better flow than pink van. Even though the van was pink, he changed it to purple because it just sounded better to the ear.
Yeah, and boy, I think in one of the reviews of this mentioned his highfalutin theories. Like, that's a good description of this because you think, well, was it pink or was it purple?
Yeah, I mean, it's one or the other.
Yeah, and if you're changing it, what kind of result makes a difference where you're changing the facts? I mean,
if you're going to change a little detail like that, you're going to change big details too. And what is the truth at that point?
Well, you know, I remember Lester Graham coming to my class and beating up my students because they'd recorded natural sound in a place where they did an interview with somebody and then they edited those two together so that it sounded like the natural sound was happening while the interviewee was answering the question, which didn't happen. And Lester just, you know, took him to task for that because, of course, that's simplistic case of news staging, you know. I mean, that didn't happen at the same time the guy was talking. So.
And in print, there have been several cases. A guy I knew in St. Louis took a photo, really a nothing story of somebody in a hotel room in a discussion, but it had a Coke can on the coffee table.
Oh, yeah.
And he photoshopped the Coke can out of the image.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the reality. Mm-hmm. And he was disciplined for that because he changed the fact. So
and Coke didn't get a free ad.
The reality here is that we've run out of time. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.